Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're starting a new series today called From Here to There. We're going to be talking about intentional discipleship and the discipleship as within the culture here at Every Nation Brisbane. Really excited to bring you this series. Today, I want us to go to our Bible. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, if you have your Bible, go there. Matthew chapter 7, we'll start in verse 15. If you don't have a Bible, you can just follow me on the screen. It says here, beware of false prophets. What a great way to start an encouraging series, eh? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Revenant. Verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Try and say that really fast. Figs from thistles. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. What kind of tree do you want to be? Yeah, good, right? A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Turn to somebody and encourage them that you will recognize a tree by its fruits. Lord, we pray for your anointing upon your word today. Father, this is your scripture, which is God breathed, sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray that you would pierce our hearts, do heart surgery in us, Lord God, so that we can begin to see ourselves in light of who you are, not in light of what we're trying to work ourselves towards being apart from our identity in you as good trees. Lord, obviously good trees are born from good seed, and we thank you that we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that we have by the grace of God through the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's title of my message is called The Good, The Bad, and The Nothing. The Good, The Bad, and the nothing. What am I getting at with this title? Well, there are good trees that bear good fruit, there are bad trees that bear bad fruit, and there are some trees that bear no fruit, the nothing trees. It's interesting, and I'm going to preach a sermon later in the year about it. You know, when I was just doing a thematic study on figs and fig trees in my own personal time, just throughout scripture, starting in Genesis, you know, where they covered themselves in fig leaves upon sinning against God. There's a situation in the book of Mark where Jesus encounters this fig tree that doesn't bear fruit in the right season. He walks past it and makes a mental note of that tree, comes past it during the season that's supposed to be bearing fruit, and it's in full foliage. It's got a lot of fig leaves, but no figs in terms of fig fruits. This is what we call a nothing tree. And Jesus curses that tree. And he begins to talk about it as if to say that he wants us not to look the part in terms of being fig trees without figs. How can you tell that a tree is an orange tree? You have to wait for it to bear the fruit so you can go, oh, it's an orange tree. I mean, unless you're a botanist and know your way around the branches and the stems, or you can recognize that this is an orange tree. But for those of us who aren't botanists, those of us who don't know much about trees, we have to wait for the fruit to be born before we can see that orange tree is an orange tree, right? And so what God is saying here, he doesn't want us to be nothing trees. At the same time, he doesn't want us to be bad trees. He wants us to be trees that bear fruit. Now, put that thought in a bookmark in your brain, and we're going to come back to that thought. Here's where I want to go today, because when we're talking about discipleship, we are talking about followers of Christ who are growing in their relationship with God, right? If you're a disciple of Christ, you don't settle for just being born again and just leave it at that. You want to grow in God. And so a lot of that growth happens in community. We'll get to that later in the series. But what I wanted to do today is look at God's measure for maturity, because a lot of us begin to think that maturity in Christianity is deemed by how long you've been in church. A lot of us might think, oh, he's more mature because he's memorized more verses, or he's done a degree or a few degrees. He's got more degrees than a thermometer in theology, can speak Greek better than Joseph Lepore, which is almost impossible, because that was beautiful. But you know what I'm saying? That would be deemed what is mature. Or the grayer your hair is, deems you more mature. But how many of you know that there are some people that grow, that being older doesn't necessarily make you more mature? For instance, when you're born again, when you become a Christian, the Bible talks about this in John chapter 3, that it's symbolized by Jesus when he's talking to Nicodemus. He says that this is the act of being born again. And he explains that you are born again in the family of God. So you basically come in like a baby. And how many of you know that when you are born into a family in the natural, you need a little bit of help? This is called discipleship. You are taught how to eat the word of God, much like, you know, like these babies here. You're cute for a while, you know. You wear your little diaper. You do the whole airplane feeding. Okay, here it comes. You know, and then they eat. And that's the way it is in discipleship. You're teaching people how to read the Bible. Some of us may have grown up in church and do know how to read the Bible, but there are some of us in this room whose first exposure to Christianity was coming to this church. And so we can't take for granted that people know how to feed themselves. So we have to teach them in discipleship how to read the word. The concept of lordship. Jesus Christ must be Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. We must teach them concept of repentance. Repentance means to turn away from sin and turn towards God 180 degrees. So these are foundations that we help to feed those who are born again, because it is necessary. Hebrews goes on to talk about that these things are like milk, and then from milk you graduate towards meat. And being in Australia, we know a lot about meat. But the thing is, we have so many Christians who have been in church. Come on, church. They've been in church for years and years and years and still don't know how to feed themselves. How many of you have heard people, they complain about not going to the same church because they're not being fed? Oh my gosh. You mean you've been in church for 30 years and don't know how to feed yourself? I don't need my mom, who lives in Sydney, to get on Skype and teach me how to eat, as you can see. I have figured it out. And hopefully you, if you've been a Christian for more than 6 months, at least in this church, my heart for you as your pastor is that you learn to teach yourself how to feed yourself so that you can help others who are born again to feed themselves so that they grow in their relationship with God. Maturity is not measured by how long you've been in church, because far too many of us Christians measure maturity in the wrong sense, and we end up still wearing our diapers. Still coming to church after 30 years, still wearing that diaper. Feed me, pastor. Feed me. Oh, I'm not being fed. My goodness. Are you a man or a boy with facial hair? Learn to feed yourself. This is what we want here. And, you know, I can understand if you're new to the faith, if you're new as a Christian, we will teach you how to feed yourself. But if you've been a Christian for this long and still don't know how to feed yourself, then something's wrong here. This is not the measure of maturity according to Scripture. The measure of maturity according to Scripture is fruitfulness. And so before I get into talking about fruitfulness, it's important for us to understand that in discipleship, we want to know how to do the job of bearing fruit. We've got to know how to do it. Otherwise, we don't do a good job. We don't do a good job like some of these examples here. Half-hearted jobs. Some of us do discipleship like this, you know? Don't know what a thing is for. And do half-hearted jobs in discipleship. Half-hearted jobs. How many of you know that there is a method in order to bear fruit in discipleship? You don't want to do a half-hearted job in being a disciple and making disciples. When we teach foundations and building and establishing good, strong, spiritual, biblical foundations in this church, we encourage you to take your time, because the foundation is the most important part of the building. Much like the foundations of your Christianity will determine whether you'll be able to stand up against storms in life. And look up at me really quickly. There will be storms. We're not one of those Disneyland churches, okay, that teaches you, you're going to live a storm-free life. No, you're going to have storms. But we're going to teach you in this church how to have foundations to be able to withstand those storms. If you will build the right foundation. The right foundation determines the right fruit. The right root determines the right fruit. What sort of root do you have to establish the right fruit? Well, in order to understand fruitfulness, we need to understand what fruit is. Now, obviously, Jesus is not literally talking about you becoming an orange tree. He is desiring to use an analogy or an allegory to point towards something with regards to your maturity and your growth as a Christian. What is he talking about? Well, there's two types of things that God is highlighting when he talks in his scriptures about fruitfulness. One of them, most obviously, can be found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? We don't have time to unpack it fully. We will do a sermon series on it later on, but I wanted to highlight this as a form of fruitfulness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Nine fruits of the Spirit. The Bible goes on in verse 23 to talk about, of these things there is no law, meaning that there is no restriction on any of this. You can't love somebody too much. You can't have too much joy. You can't have too much peace. Of these things, there is no restriction. It's like telling a tree, hey, don't bear too much fruit. No, you just bear fruit. And the more plugged in you are to the source, the deeper your root structure is into the ground, the deeper the unseen part of your tree is, the unseen part of your Christianity is, the more fruit you will naturally bear. See, unfortunately, there is this dichotomy in the Christian faith that separates the presence of God from his purposes. So on one side, you have the presence of God. Oh, we love the presence. I just want to soak in the presence. Just don't tell me to go and make disciples. All of that stuff in terms of going, and you started singing about the Holy Spirit, draw me near. I love that part. But when you started talking about, we will go to the ends of the earth, I don't like that part of the song. I just want to stay, Holy Spirit, come flood this place, fill the atmosphere with your power and your presence. They will go. If you've been around Every Nation Brisbane long enough, you'll know that the closer you get to the heart of God, the more that you hear his heart beat for the lost. I jokingly say it all the time. You hear it beat. Other people. Lost people. Missions. Broken. And you're like, oh no, I just want to cuddle Jesus. I just want to hold you. Just romantic dates with Jesus. Just don't send me to the nation. Don't even send me to Brisbane. Don't send me to my neighbor. He's weird. I'm not weird. He's weird. You need to put your candle out and get outside and reach the lost. Okay? Turn off your little instrumental worship music, the candle, and walk outside and go and reach the lost. Unfortunately, on the other side of Christianity, we have people that are so task-oriented that they neglect the power that comes from the presence of God. And so when they move out, it's more like a flow chart than it is empowered by the Spirit of God and by the love of God. Because you should wait upon the Lord for him to break your heart for what breaks his heart. And that can only be found in his presence. The fact of the matter is, he is an omnipresent God. But too many of us subjugate our and think that our quiet time is the only time that we connect with the Holy Spirit. As if to say, the 15-minute time that you have with God is the only time you have with God. So after you've finished your Bible reading in the morning and your prayer in the morning, thank you, Lord. Okay, you stay in here like the Indian in the cupboard, and then I'm going to go on with the rest of my day bombarded by what the media has to say to me about all the gossip that happens on my campus or at my workplace. And that little time that I had with God is all I have. Now, how many of you know he's omnipresent? How many of you know that quiet time does not end? How many of you know that you shouldn't necessarily be praying for divine appointments, but your whole day should be one long divine appointment because he is with you always? The greatest part of the Great Commission is the end. And I will be with you always to the ends of the earth. He promises us his presence. But too many of us say, okay, you keep your presence there because I'm going to make disciples. No, you can't do it apart from him. He carries all authority, according to Matthew 28:18. So there's no fruitfulness apart from his presence. You can't do his purpose without his presence. But you can't stay in his presence too long without being compelled towards his purposes. Are you with me? You need both. And so it's when you're connected to the root, and when you're connected to his presence in the unseen, you naturally bear fruit in terms of his purpose. So the fruit of the Spirit is one form of fruit, but the aspect of fruit I wanted to talk about a bit more is in John 15. and where Jesus begins to talk about fruit in the manner of talking about bearing fruit in discipleship, bearing fruit in evangelism, bearing fruit in reaching out. Now, if you are connected to the source, it will become natural for you to bear fruit. You never hear an orange tree going, "Oh, I want oranges." Have you ever walked past an orchard and you see a little orange tree down at, you know, like Bunnings Warehouse, the little stumpy one that they have there because it will grow into a big, and you walk past him, he's going, "Come on, Chenny, come on." You know, like, none of them are straining to bear. They just are. They are orange trees. They're not trying to be orange trees. They were born orange trees, just like you are born again. If you are born again, you don't have to try. Like I tell my daughter, Nazareth, all the time, like she turned eight, she's about to turn nine in August. I'm telling her, stop growing up. She's like, "I'm trying, Daddy, I'm really trying." I can't stop her growing up because she's naturally going to grow. If she's in my house and I'm feeding her, then she's going to grow. If you are in the house of God, if you are in the environment where you're being watered and fed with the word of God, being grown in an environment of the orchard of fellowship, you will naturally grow in God. If you learn to feed yourself, you'll naturally grow. You don't have to strain to make disciples. I just wanted to take this edge off of you because some of us think, "Oh, I have to strain to bear fruit in discipleship." And it makes for really angry evangelists. Have you know? They either come off really angry or really scared. Like, "Jesus love you," you know? Because they're afraid a pastor like me might breathe down their neck, you know? "Have you witnessed to anybody today?" "No, I haven't." No, just get plugged in. Just sow yourself into the soil. Are you with me today? Let's look at scripture. John chapter 15. This is Jesus talking. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me," everybody say abide. Abide means to remain. I know we don't use the word abide very often, but abide means to remain connected. You abide. Abides in him, in me, and I in him. He it is that bears much fruit. Wow. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Notice this. And notice the verse that's always taken out of context, Philippians 4:13. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In terms of being content, the context of that verse is being content. See, God wants you to be connected to the vine and abide in him. No matter how hard life becomes, if your foundations in God are strong, you will remain connected and abiding in the vine. A lot of victories are won when you just show up. There are going to be seasons, especially for my brothers here. You know, we just finished an awesome victory weekend. And then, you know, like a lot of us got breakthrough. Like some of us got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I could just see the spirit of prophecy released amongst the brothers. I'm really, really excited for what God's going to do. But let me tell you something. We're not going to ride that wave and not forget that there are storms coming. Not that we exalt or magnify the storms, but it's that foundation. If we don't establish a good, strong foundation when the emotions aren't there, we will still be well-founded and abiding in the vine. That's what's most important. He is the vine. If you learn to abide and remain in Jesus, you will not be shaken. You won't be shaken. But you got to remain in a position where you can be pruned. Ooh. A fruitful disciple is a pruned disciple. Notice the word is pruned, not pruney. You know the people that like to soak all day, all night long? Soak in the pool of the presence of God. Oh, I like to soak until they get all pruney. How many of you like remember swimming for a long time, you know, and then you come out? I remember the first time I took Jordan for a swim when she could talk, and she laughed at me one time. We were walking out, and she saw my hands and feet kind of got that pruney look. She's like, "Ha, Daddy, you're old." And I said, "Look at your hands." Because she was pruny too. It's not that you stay in the presence of God and soak in the presence of God and just stay there and don't do anything. But like the longer you stay connected to the vine, you'll naturally bear fruit and you'll naturally produce fruit in evangelism and making disciples. It'll become a natural byproduct for you to reach out because your heart is so indelibly linked to his heart. And he breaks your heart for what breaks his heart because your hearts are one, because you're connected, you're abiding in the vine. But you've got to stay teachable. This is what it means to be pruned, is that there are times, guys, the more you connect to the vine, there are parts of our lives that require pruning. Now, if we read the next scripture, there's another kind of cutting that goes on here. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, let's carry on. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. So either way, you're going to get cut. Oh, man, why did I come to church today to hear that? One way or the other, as a Christian, you are going to be cut. You're either going to be pruned or cast into the fire. As a disciple of Christ, notice the root word of the word disciple is the same root word for the word discipline. And according to Hebrews 12, God disciplines those he loves because he wants to refine us so that we can bear more fruit. If you want to abide in the vine, if you want to become like Christ, and how many of us can honestly say that we are completely like Christ in every way right now? Please come up the front so we can worship you like right now. No, none of us are. So in order for us to become more like Christ, this is a process that Scripture calls sanctification. And so in order to be sanctified, he begins to prune us. Oh, Lord, I want to be patient and I can't wait. Teach me patience now, Lord. I'm doing it right now. He's pruning you. But it's about remaining in a place where the Holy Spirit comes and is able to cut those areas out, highlight those areas that need pruning. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Like understand that he takes us through certain situations to expose these areas that need pruning. It's best we stay in that position. Let me give you a key to help accelerate the process in your life. Here's a term that we use in church but needs a bit of explaining. It's the term walk in the light. How many of you have heard that expression? Walk in the light. What do you mean by that? If you've been around the church long enough, you'll hear me use this as an example. Like when you're in the club and the lights are really right down, you can't see anything. Everybody looks like a supermodel until the lights come on. You're like, whoa, I was dancing with a girl with a wooden head. What's going on here? Like the lights come on. Oh, goodness me. And then they look at me and go, whoa, goodness me. Before Christ, all right? Before Christ. BT, before Tina, before Tina. Abide in the vine. All right, so to walk in the light means that you have everything out in the open, right? Like everybody can see the flaws that are on you when the light is bright, right? What is the light? According to Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. His word is our light. So if we look at the light of his word and allow ourselves to be exposed, we have the option of turning off the light, i.e. shut the Bible and no, I don't believe it. Or we say, you know what? I believe the word of God over my situation. I need pruning. The way you accelerate your growth, your maturity in God is being teachable and allowing the word of God to prune you. And if we're really honest, and if we're really judging ourselves, because the Bible says for us to judge ourselves lest we be judged, then it's best to get some people that we trust to be accurate mirrors in our lives to help prune us. Now, that doesn't mean that they make the decision as to what should be pruned, but they can at least say, hey, here's what the Word of God says. Here's where your life is. The choice is yours. Because as a mentor, as one who makes disciples, my job is to teach them to obey God, not obey my opinion. Because it's on them to obey the word. Now, if I'm telling them, no, you need to do what I say. No, they're not my disciple. They're Jesus' disciple. All I do is present what the word of God says. And tell them, look, this is what the word of God says. It's on you. I'm going to love you regardless. Just like Jesus loved Peter, even after he left. Peter only became the apostle Peter that we know after Jesus left. Did you notice that? And too many of us are like, oh, he doesn't get it. I'll give up on him. Well, the same grace that's been afforded to you should be afforded to those you are mentoring and discipling. Just show them the word of God. And if they don't make a decision to follow Christ, then give them the same grace that's been afforded to you. If I'm really real in here, not all of us, in fact, none of us didn't get it right the first time. We needed a little bit of grace.
Me, a lot.
Right? So be prunable. Turn to somebody, encourage them. Be prunable. That's not even a word, but it's a word for today. Number two, a fruitful disciple, we've already touched on it, is an abiding disciple. One who remains connected to God. No matter how rough life gets, stay abiding in the vine. Stay abiding in Jesus. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. If you are connected to the vine, you will naturally produce fruit like the vine. You with me? Right? Your fruit will look like the vine, right? It's not like a vine offshoot of a grape vine becomes coconut. Right? It doesn't do that. Okay. Just in case you're wondering. They all look like that vine that they are connected to. And if you are connected and abiding in the vine, it's natural, according to scripture, that you will bear much fruit. For those of us who are in this room and we've been praying, God, teach me how to make disciples. I'm giving you the key right now. The deeper you go in your intimacy with God, the deeper you go in knowing him, the deeper you go in bearing fruit and obedience to him, the easier it will become, the more natural it will become for you to bear fruit. Because the Christ-likeness in you begins to shine a lot more, and people will want to imitate you as you imitate Christ. Because you are abiding in the vine. Remain in the vine. I know how hard life can get. And every single one of us will be tempted to snap off the main vine. But if your foundations are strong, if your root structure is strong, you will remain and abide in the vine. Here's a way you can tell what you really abide in. Think about the last thing, the last hard thing you went through. Some of you may be going through that thing right now. Like whatever trial you've been through, like the hardest trial you've been through. What was the first thing you ran to? Was it something? Was it somebody? Or was it God? That's how you can tell what you abide in. How did that thing that you trusted in, how did it prove itself and helping you get what you need? So many people here in Brisbane abide in other things in order to get the relief or in order to get the breakthrough that they need, only to find that it's only Christ that can bring that breakthrough that you need. And you try to find it at the bottom of a bottle, only to find that when you wake up with that hangover, you wake up with a headache and the problem's still there. And I'm not trying to lambast. Please hear my heart. I'm not trying to lambast anybody in here that's done that. I know how hard life is, and there's grace towards you, but you don't need to do that anymore. You need to trust in God. You need to abide in him. He proves himself every time. If you trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross, I'm telling you that you will find everything that you need. You will be complete. Even for those of us who went through a hard time and we trusted in that ex. Ooh, I went there. You thought you erased her number, but hello, found it on Facebook. Ah, the Lord must have led me to, you know, well, shut up, man. And the Lord didn't lead you to that. Oh, I can't stand it when you're tempted towards something and then you have the nerve to turn around towards God and say, well, if God wanted me to stop, he would have blocked me. Are you kidding me? Out of his love for you, he gives you free will. It's not worship unless you choose to worship him. But you didn't choose it. And he said, look, you make the choice. You will bear the fruit. And that's why the Bible says no bruised, diseased tree can bear good fruit. You need to be a new creation. You need to be a new creature. You need to be a new tree. You can't be a bruised tree and just, Lord, just prune the leaves and prune the branches. You know, I hope it'll be good bananas, Lord. No, get rid of the old tree. The old is gone. Some of you need to be baptized next week. The old is gone and the new is here. You're a new creature, a new creation. Don't settle for that. Can't be a bruised tree and try to be, you know, bear good fruit. It's not going to happen. So what must you do? In order to abide in the vine, you need to be a new creature because God doesn't connect with that which is impure. He is holy. He is righteous. And you can't work your way towards holiness and righteousness on your own. So in order to abide in him, you need to cast off the old self into the fire and trust in his lordship and then be connected to the vine, because he who knew no sin became sin so that you could be called the righteousness of God. Therefore, you can abide in the vine. It's all in that chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You can abide in him. Do you abide in him? Are you a seasonal Christian? Are you the sort of Christian that's like on fire 1 week, and then the next week, have you seen him? Oh, his rugby team lost, so, you know, he didn't show up to church. He's a Rabbitohs fan, so didn't come because they lost. Because his God failed him. Can I keep it real? I'm just being real. Just being real. Guys, we if we abide in the vine, none of this emotionalism will affect us. None of the, you know, our Christianity will not be determined by how our emotions feel. Like, even if you feel rotten, you know the best place to minister to that rottenness is in the presence of God with the fellowship of believers. You fight to get here. Fight to get amongst believers. Oh, Pastor, it's Easter. So we have holiday. What do we celebrate on Easter? He just like died for you. Just have a holiday from my faith, you know. I come back. Don't worry. Altar call next week. I come back again. Abide. Abide in the vine. Let's move on. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment. Say this with me. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. And I'm sure they were looking at each other going, oh, hey. Judas Iscariot, are you serious? We gotta love him, right? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I don't care where I am in the world, and no matter where I get the opportunity to share the gospel and speak, it's the same everywhere that I've gone. The issue that people that are unsaved within that nation have with the church is that we can't get along. We can't love one another. Some of us in this room are looking at other people in this room and thinking, oh, you know, I love God, but that person, oh, Jesus. Some of you are looking at me. That pastor there. I love him because you command me to love him, but oh, God. That's all right. You know. When we learn to love one another, it's going to be amazing to the rest of Brisbane City. It's going to be a shining example for them to know that we are a community of faith in Christ that loves one another. Try this, guys, too. Here's a test for you. When you leave this place, and I invite all of you to hang out in the foyer afterwards, try this.
This is going to step on a few toes. Is it okay?
Try talking to somebody that's not from the same culture as you. Try to talk to people that don't come from the same country as you, that don't have the same language as you, that didn't grow up listening to the same era of songs as you, that didn't necessarily go to the same high school as you, that don't like the same rugby league team as you. Try, all you people from Logan, talk to some people on the north side, you know? Talk to some people from the north side. Browns Plains, talk to some people from the north side. You know why? They need Jesus now. All right, let's move on. A fruitful disciple is a loving disciple. Woo, especially North Lakes. A fruitful disciple is a loving disciple. I love you too, bro. So you need to move. A fruitful disciple is a loving disciple. Let's look at what scripture says. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Let me tell you something. This is one of the most powerful verses in scripture because, number one, Jesus is referring in terms of friends to his disciple. He's saying, you guys are my friends. Do you realize that? Jesus calls you into friendship. The creator of the universe calls you into friendship. But he doesn't just call you his mate or his friend. Now watch this. I don't want to deem this a casual approach to God, because we incorrectly sometimes, and you've got to look at scripture. The theologian D.A. Carson rightfully says that there is no reference towards us in scripture, us as humanity, calling God our friend. It's always God calling us into friendship. Now, that doesn't mean we can't sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," but it's just so that we understand in our own minds the holiness of God, yet he still calls you into friendship. The friendship was not initiated by us. It was initiated by a perfect and holy and righteous God. And it's important for us to understand that. That the creator of this universe, according to Psalm 8, he throws the planets and the stars into being from his hands. And then it goes on to say, well, who am I that you are mindful of me? He's mindful of you. He calls you into friendship. And he doesn't just say it. How many of you have, you know, heard people call you friend and there's no sign of their friendship other than a Facebook ad friend? Facebook friends are the most, there are people, I'll be honest with you. There are people on my Facebook profile, I have no idea who they are. I'm sorry, I'm not saying that in pride. I'm just saying that, you know, that's not what biblical friendship is. It's being willing to lay down your life for your friend. Can you honestly, those of you who call Every Nation Brisbane your home, can you honestly say that you would be willing to lay down your life for your friend here? Because if we are the body of Christ, abiding in the vine, then we need to learn to be able to lay down our lives for our friends. Just the same way that he laid down his life for us. Let me take it to another level. The same way that God calls us into friendship, he's calling the rest of Brisbane City into friendship. Would you be willing to lay down your life for the lost of this city? Oh, yeah. I'm keeping it as real as can be. Well, I'm not called to be here. I'm called to be in Auckland. I'm called to be in Melbourne. I'm called to be in Sydney. Well, lay down your life for them too then. Wherever you go, God is calling you to have a greater love that would lay down your life for the friends that God has in that city. Would you do it? Well, I'm not sure. Then without that heart, you'll never be able to produce the fruit, because as you abide in the vine, it becomes a natural byproduct to have this great love running in your life and through your life towards those that don't know him. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friend. Now, the same author of this gospel is the same author of 1 John. His name is John. And he also wrote in John chapter 4 that we love because he first loved us. Oh, we love the love of the Father. Oh, yes, thank you for your love. It's not just supposed to come to you. It's supposed to flow through you. No. Just keep it coming to me. Through you, not to you. Through you. No. Just keep it coming to me. You are a conduit of that love. That's how we make disciples, guys. That's the key. If you are connected to the vine, you will naturally produce fruit. Last point I want to make here as we close is that a fruit tree always bears fruit for the consumption of outside parties. Have you ever seen a fruit tree eat its own fruit? It's the most stupid image in my brain right now. Like, I have a cartoon image of an orange tree right now in my mind, pulling its branches in like Cookie Monster and eating its own oranges. It doesn't happen. The reason why fruit is born out of a tree is for the consumption of outside parties. If you bear fruit, it's for the consumption of others, that others may taste and see that the Lord is good flowing through your life. Do people see and taste of the fruit in your life? Because the more fruit you bear in terms of Christian character, the easier it will be to bear fruit in discipleship. Are you with me today? Do we understand that? The reason why fruit is born in your life is so that others will taste and see of the love of God.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.